Welcome to the Briefing Room, a Healthcare Communications Association initiative. I'm Jo Spadaccino, co-founder of a health comms agency called STIRD, and I'm co-leading this Briefing Room series with Ramota Alharan from health tech company CISSIV, and who is also my colleague on the Foresight Committee. The HCA Foresight Committee explores topics that have relevance not only for today, but also help as a profession prepare for tomorrow. In our briefing room, we're talking to prominent senior business leaders at the forefront of change in a wide variety of roles in the pharmaceutical sector to help us build a timely picture of what the key areas of focus are looking forward, and importantly, what the future asks will be for us as healthcare communicators. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Matt Moore, Senior Director of Customer Engagement at Novo Nordisk UK. Hi, Matt.
Morning,
Welcome.
Joe. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. So let's kick off. If you could just introduce yourself, give us a bit of your back catalogue, where you come from, what your history has been, and also what your current role entails.
Yeah, of course. So thank you for having me. So I currently lead the customer engagement team at Novo Nordisk in the UK, which is a team of talented individuals split across two business areas, really. One is our traditional commercial excellence, and one is our customer experience team. And that covers anything from customer experience, omnichannel, through to content. And on the other half of the team, we've got, as I said, traditional, I guess, commercial effectiveness. So our data and insights team, our frontline excellence, and our performance and analytics teams. And then prior, so I've actually been in Novo for about 6 months. Previous to that, I was at AstraZeneca for 4.5 years in the UK in a similar sort of role. And then actually, perhaps a little bit different from some of your guests. Before that, I was completely non-pharma. So the large part of my career has been spent in media, both regional and national across UK and the Middle East. Did a little bit of time with FMCG as well. And I've also worked across some digital and digital startups, pure plays, scale-ups, and e-commerce. So a reasonably broad background, and I guess found my way into pharma, and so far I've stayed with it.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's going to be really interesting then. Having that kind of varied background, yeah, it'd be really interesting to see how that kind of colours your perceptions on where we're heading as a sector. So excellent. Really looking forward to the conversation. So I guess customer engagement. You've described your role and your team and how they fit within the organisation really well there. And there's always, I guess that kind of grey area of like where does customer engagement start and stop? So I'd definitely like to kind of pick up on that a bit, I think, as we have the conversation. Why don't we start off with kind of thinking about what's keeping you busy right now, so we can get a bit more context and understanding of your role. So what are you spending most of your time on at the moment planning for? What's kind of front of mind for you?
How do I pick one or two things? I think the biggest area at the minute is how we move the business and organization, particularly from a comms and a marketing perspective, into more of a constant rhythm and campaign mentality. So what I mean by that is we do a lot of great stuff. The marketeers spend a lot of time strategizing and developing their brand plans for the year and their strategy plans for the sort of 3 and 5 year period. Where I think we've got some road to go down is how you translate those things into executable campaigns. So, and the rhythm of those as well. So I sort of see and have experienced a lot of, well, we're going to do this piece of work and we spend a lot of time doing it and we do it and deliver it and it's fantastic. And then we start again and go through the whole process over and over again. So if you look across other sectors and a lot of other businesses, that always on approach is more of a consistent rhythm of campaign by campaign by campaign. So I think moving the organization and the structure and the operating model to deliver that is one of the things we focus on. And then this we're focusing on. And the second piece, I think, is more around how we start to bridge the gap between patient activation, more traditional HCP engagement, and how those things are now put in many cases starting to merge and cross over. So before, I think it's been quite separate. Here's patient activation, here's HCP engagement. Now, increasingly, if you think of the way, patients, customers, and consumers are behaving, I think they're merging a little bit. So it's how you navigate our way through that.
Yeah, interesting. So I think when, certainly traditionally, customer engagement would absolutely, be very, very focused on healthcare professionals as customers. But like you say, the stakeholder kind of map is getting ever more kind of complex and overlapping, isn't it? And we can't, fail to recognize, I suppose, how all of them interact with each other and what that means for our comms. So yeah, that's really interesting. And I suppose to the point around kind of planning and that cadence of activity, I guess analytics plays a really big part in that, right? What are you seeing in terms of kind of developments in tech or how the sector is adopting technology to support analytics and that real-time kind of understanding of how we're performing?
So I think there's been a lot of investment, and I think in many cases we've invested before perhaps really understanding what we want to understand and what we want to measure and what we want to analyze. So I think what that's caused is quite a wealth of tech investment, quite a wealth of platform investment. So I think we've ended up in a position where we're increasingly getting stacks of data, whether it's our own data, whether it's using third-party data. And we've become really data centric and we've become really data rich. And now, all the challenge is how you drive and pull the actual insights from that. So, one of the conversations I'm often having with my team is, that's great. The infrastructure's there. You've built a data, a customer data platform. You've got your data integrity. You've got your architecture. Now, you've got all these data sources. How do we actually pull out the insights? So, we've invested actually now over the past year or so in bringing that pure insights role into the organization. So I think one of the challenges is, as I've said, how do you stratify all those data points? How do you stratify all those insights into something that's actually actionable? Because presenting a whole huge, repository of facts and insights back to the business is great. And I think people warm to that and welcome it. And the mindset is starting to shift. And we've got a big drive this year on being much more, systematically using data and insights rather than just doing it periodically. How does it become the backbone of all your decision making? But how do the team pull out the actionable insights that the business can actually actively use and make decisions from, rather than just saying, do you know what, we've got a whole load of data now and that's great, and it is, but what are we going to do with it? Is the key thing
Totally.
for me.
Yeah, it comes down to how you work as a team, have you got the right people in the room? And are they, do they have the mandate, I suppose, to take those actions forward, isn't it? Like you say, I've heard the term, analysis paralysis, and that, quite often happens, doesn't it? It just goes nowhere. So, but great to hear that, the technology is there, which is,
That's one
it
thing
means
I
we're
think.
building from the
And I think
platform.
that's 100%. I think it's great that we've invested like that, and I think that I see it across, across the sector and across the industry. But I think we're at the point now of, as you said, it's data, paralysis by analysis, or whether it's just the pure complexity of what we're trying to achieve, stripping that back to understand, okay, what are we using this for, and what are the questions we're actually trying to answer and articulate? That the bit is where I think we've probably got to be better at.
Just drawing back to your intro and obviously your experience across multiples of different sectors, which sector have you seen that does this really, really well, and how does that compare to the pharma sector?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think pharma's getting better. Retail probably is still the one where the amount of data they've got and what they do with that data is probably the key thing. If you think of any the way you shop yourselves or the way anyone's listening to this shops, the level of personalization or the level of tailoring based on the data that these retail providers are building up on you gives a much better, or seemingly much better, experience to you as a consumer. So you're getting messaging and you're getting content that's relevant to you. I think you can apply the same principle and approach to pharma and to what we're trying to achieve, albeit we need to start reasonably small with that. And I don't, I don't believe you need to drive towards ultra personalization within pharma immediately. You can make a stepping stone and a pathway to getting there. But starting to explore more tailored communications, starting to explore more personalization and relevance, I think has to be the next step. Because, whether it's happened off the back of COVID and all those sorts of things we know about, that the level of activity across channels now is going through the roof.
Yeah.
The way HCPs are engaging with channels has changed and this continues to shift. So if I think that from where I'm working and everyone else is thinking that, that market is going to be for comms and space and airtime with HCPs or customers is going to get even more crowded and competitive. So how do you cut through the noise, making it more relevant, making it more timely, and to a degree personalized, I think has to be where we drive towards, albeit that means shifting the resources and the organization to enable that and fund that.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I don't know whether this is what you were alluding to, but I suppose that age-old discussion, which is I don't think is going anywhere in terms of the resource that you put into frontline field force, which as a sector, obviously pharma very much do compared to other industries that have long since ditched it, in favor of other channels to reach customers. How are we doing on that front? Are we seeing enough movement? Does it feel like it's the right balance now? What's your future predictions as to where that's going to
I think it's definitely shifting. If I think of,
go?
the investment we're making into other channels, if I think at the, I don't envisage a picture anytime soon or in the future where the role of the frontline field is just going to disappear. Because, if you look at any insight data, value, HCPs, customers still value face-to-face interactions still quite highly, particularly if you look at it in terms of the impact on decision making and prescribing behavior. So I don't think that's going anywhere anytime soon. So to me, it's more about how you invest and get the mix of channels right. I'm also not one of these people that believes you can necessarily apportion a prescribing decision to one single channel. If the mix of channels is right and we understand and start to understand more about the blend of those channels and what works for certain customer types or certain customer profiles, then that is more interesting to me than trying to say one channel is better than the other. It's very, very hard to, I think, apportion, channel attribution and channel impact to one single point in time. I just don't think people behave like that.
Agree.
And particularly now that there's a level of self-serving in terms of the research they can do. I've said this to my team, and I said it for a few years now. I don't think HCPs are any different to you and I. They will Google something if they don't know the answer to it. And there's a channel, so they're using search. It's how you blend those channels together. So I think it's shifting, but I don't think we're going one way or the other. It's more that blended approach that I think is going to be more relevant, impactful moving forwards.
Which is the right answer. I think it, for a long time it kind of, felt a bit tense and, which side is going to win, and it clearly was never going to end up that way, like you say. And it feels like there's now an acceptance that it all plays its part. And yeah, I definitely agree with you around the attribution theory. It's like, yes, it would be lovely and neat if we could just press a button and find out which channel was, was the right one. But human beings aren't like that for sure, and quite often have no idea actually what's influencing their behavior. So yeah, what are the rest of us gonna to be able to find out really? What do you what Just touching on kind of, I guess, the HCP customers and how they view pharma. And obviously they're not a homogenous group, they all have different drivers and needs. But what do you believe that healthcare professionals really want from pharma? What do they value most?
That's a great question. I think increasingly what I'm seeing and what I'm certainly hearing is I think they want fast access to, I mean, let's assume for a second, they want the ability to prescribe the medicines that's for the benefit of their patients, which is ultimately why we're all here. It's about serving patients and it's about making a healthier society. Out of pharma specifically, I just think they want simple, fast, ready information that can help them in their day-to-day. And we all know about the challenges the sector has, the time pressures they're under, and so on and so forth, which are absolutely true. So we need to be crystal clear on what we're giving them that is based on the their need. So whether it's more information about how to support patients post-prescribing, whether it's more information earlier on in the pipeline in terms of, when a new medicine comes to market, has to be bundled up in a way they can readily access it in the format that they want to do it. I don't think they necessarily need to be oversold to. I think that, the information is out there for them to make to help their own. We talked a minute about their Google stuff. There's a whole wealth of information out there across multiple sources now where they can start to build their own picture and their own decision making. So I think they want a trusted relationship. They want fast access to information, and I don't think we need to overcomplicate it. On that basis, I think sometimes we tend to go, okay, well, we want something really complicated, but what is their pain point? Well, on a daily basis, they need to know, or what do they want? Unlock that and give them that is where my thinking is with it.
Good answer. Coming back to a kind of a broader question around I guess your role and what's currently keeping you busy and what you're thinking about going forward. If you had a magic wand, which of your greatest challenges would you solve? What's like the biggest bugbear of yours?
Oh wow. I would probably start with our ability to create content across whatever format, asset type you're thinking of, based on what that customer need wants. And we just talked about how do you accelerate that process? How would you get content through the system quicker in a compliant way? We all know the challenges around compliance. We all know we need to be compliant. So what can you do to just speed up that process, which then lends itself to a more, the cadence around campaign approach, the cadence around regular communication. How can you move to that sort of, I don't think pharma's going to shift to a content business. If you think of, what Red Bull did, it started off as a drinks company, is now is effectively a content business. We're not going there yet, but how do you move content through the system to allow the whether it's the customer engagement team, whether it's the brand team, whether it's the medical teams, to put content into the hands of, those HCPs or patients, in a much more quicker, dynamic, faster way. And I think if you can do that, that unlocks a lot of things. It unlocks the ability to be more tailored and personalized and so on and so forth. But you've got to have a facility and a mechanism to do it.
Do you know the answer?
Well, no,
Have
you said I had a magic wand.
Damn.
So that was my magic wand. In terms of an answer, I don't think there's a single answer. I think there's a number of different layers and levels to that conversation. Cross-functionally, the business has to buy into that. From a resourcing point of view, what does that mean? In terms of a creating of the content, so whether that's working with, agencies, whether it's working with partners, whether it's internally and a combination and mix of the two. Whether it's the compliance piece and the approvals process, whether it's investment in tech and platforms and AI to speed that up, it's probably the sum of those parts, I think, is the way to look at it. I don't think there's probably, other than the magic wand, I don't think there's probably one silver bullet that's going to unlock that.
That's a very fair point.
And also from the, do you know what, from an individual and the types of people we want to bring into pharma as a sector, it's perhaps thinking a little bit differently. Perhaps we do need to start going beyond, the traditional marketeer or the traditional customer engagement person to say, okay, well, we want someone who is a creative, who is a content specialist, and we've made some investments in that area, but I absolutely believe we can do more.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, isn't it? It's like, what skills do we
Yeah.
need in the workforce to help us succeed in the future? And I think we have started to see a bit of a transition and companies playing around with different roles,
Yeah.
but also where people are coming from. You're a case in point that you've entered the industry through a non-traditional route, shall we
Yeah.
say.
Yeah.
How's your experience been in general? Like, have you found that, your views are, quite different to some of your colleagues? Is has yeah, just tell me a bit more about the experience, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's been great. I mean, I'm still here. So there's a that's perhaps says a lot. I don't think my I think my views are they different? Yeah, they probably are. Were they different sort of 5 years ago, perhaps when I came in the industry? Yeah, very different. Are they very different now? No, I think people are starting to increasingly, as you said, understand the relevance, understand the importance. And it's very, very different across markets as well. I work for the UK affiliate, but if I look at how other affiliates across sort of Europe and the globe, that they're very different. The engagement models and the go-to-market models are still very different. So I think the UK is a little bit unique in some respects because we do have more of a trend towards customers wanting to engage across channels. If you look at some of the European markets, their face-to-face engagements and traditional field are still really high. And the UK is a bit of an outlier in that sense. So I think that is starting to help the conversation because the evidence is starting to speak for itself rather than somebody, strange coming in and saying, "You know what, we should stop all of this and we should start doing this." Which is probably what people thought initially when I was talking to them. So I think the nature of the way it is naturally going that way. I'm not one of these people also that thinks all COVID changed that the engagement landscape in the UK. It would have gone that way regardless. It might have accelerated it. But I think people are starting to realize, you know what? Yeah, customers, HCPs, they are behaving differently. They do want different things from us now. And we're having to adjust and pivot and tweak the way we do things. But as I said before, it's that mix of getting it right. So I think the conversations now are easier, definitely. And we're starting to have some successes as well, not just at where I am at Novo Nordisk, what we did at, AstraZeneca and what I can see across the sector and other businesses, they are starting to make inroads into that and talk about it as well. That's the other bit. I think I've been quite surprised how, in a good way, there's a real humility and humbleness around the bit around the sector, I think. And I think being a bit bolder and braver in talking about things more openly would be a good thing.
Totally. It's that growth mindset, isn't it? Being open and curious to doing things
Yeah.
differently. That's like I say, that's really good to hear that that's your vibe from the sector, that actually there is that openness to learn and grow and do things
Yeah,
differently.
and I think there's definitely that willingness, but with that, the level of opportunity and potential is, I think, is still enormous.
What does most excite you most as you kind of look to the future in terms of, I guess the outlook for the industry?
Well, I don't from when I look at it through my lens of customer engagement and the way we work with patients or HCPs or customers, like the things we've just been talking about, we haven't scratched the surface when it comes to highly personalized, tailored engagements. We haven't, I'm not a huge fan of the word omni-channel. I hear it a lot, and I've heard it a lot over the past 5 years. And in some respects, I think we should ban it because I think it didn't help the conversations early on, actually, because I think the complexity around it frightened people, and maybe, as you said, I touched on earlier, people saw it as a threat. I much more prefer how do we make those engagements and interactions integrated, and that's what excites me. I don't think we've really got into that at all. So, somebody sees a doctor face to face or another healthcare professional. That's a starting point in that engagement with that individual. What do we want them to do next? Okay, well, it'd be great if we followed up with an email. And then if they followed up with that email and that customer opened it and it was relevant to the conversation they'd had, and then there was some equally relevant expanded content online that they went to, and then they saw that there was a webinar of interest. Before you know it, you've created a really tight integrated ecosystem with that customer. Then we can start doing the things around, okay, well, that customer likes that sequence of channels and content. This customer group likes something else. You start feeding that back into the organization. I think people get excited really quickly, and do it without using the word omnichannel.
Totally. Because at the end of the day, it's just good comms.
Good comms, good experience. No more complicated than that. So I don't think we've really got into that yet. There's pockets of it, and there's pilots, and all those sorts of things. But the challenge being, and we talked about, how do you then do that at scale?
Totally. In terms of, I guess, the discipline of customer engagement, marketing, comms, I know they're all different, but kind of in that swim, like where do you see organizations in terms of the value they put on that function as part of their overall big business success?
I think, yeah, I suspect, and it is changing, but I suspect they undervalue that at the moment. If all of those things build up a better customer experience, and if all of those things build up a better reputation, it's probably to a degree underserved and underrecognized. So I think whilst that's changing, and you can see it through the investments in, you touched on earlier, different roles, different ways of working, I don't know if the businesses realize the, necessarily the added value and the benefit those functions bring. What I have noticed in pharma, they, and the way we use data and the way we look at performance. So you talked about, performance and growth mindset, which I'm 100% supportive of. But our performance and analytics has largely been around how effective has our frontline field organizations been. Traditional call rates, how many, what metrics are we looking at, et cetera, et cetera. Well, okay, well, what's the equivalent metrics to call rates within other channels?
Yeah,
How do
there's no
you?
standardization, is there?
No.
Everyone kind of handles it differently.
And I think if we get better at that, then I think that education piece within, within where I am, with other businesses and within the sector, I think is still a big opportunity. without looking at that granular attribution that we just talked about, how do you start to say, okay, well, we'll talk about lead and lag measures. Okay, well, that's quite straightforward in a traditional field model. How do you bring the same thinking into the organization across channels and help build the education? Because I think there's different pockets and different layers of the organization that probably get it more than others. So I still think there's a big education piece to happen for the sector, rather than just individual businesses.
It's a really good point, actually, that there is just such diversity in the way that different businesses see success, report on success. Structure teams, and it doesn't help, does it, with the kind of the cons I guess, yeah, landing that overall value as a discipline, because we're all saying slightly different things and benchmarks are all different, and yeah, just needs to be a bit more clarity around it and simplicity, I suppose, so that people with, kind of multiple functions and, trying to bring it all together just can see much more clearly, kind of, yeah, where the impact
Yeah,
is.
I think simplicity is a really good point, because I do think there is a leaning towards trying to overcomplicate some of those things. But if you can do it in a language and a way that people recognize and relate to, then I think that unlocks a lot of and opens a lot of doors quite quickly.
That's really interesting. What in terms of, we talked a bit about kind of how your team's structured, how, the role you play within the function, how you work with cross disciplines. What about kind of looking more externally? The HCA has a lot of communications agency partners as part of the membership. What do you need from kind of agency partners today, or even looking forward into the future, to make them the most of today's opportunities and challenges?
I think over the past sort of 3 or 4 years, particularly perhaps the last couple of years, 18 months, I think agency partners have started to shift a little bit, like what I've been saying about, from a client side, we've changed the structure, we've changed roles and responsibilities. I think the agencies that we work with have started to respond to that and have shifted their thinking and their setup accordingly. For me, it's about, it maybe starts on our, maybe starts client side. I don't think we've been great. I don't think, as a rule, pharma clients are fantastic clients in the sense of, are we as clear as we need to be around what we expect, what we're trying to achieve, what we want to do? Is our briefing process, and this is the way we work with agencies, really right? And I think I've seen some good examples of how it's got better, but I think there's more we can do client side. And then for me, it's more around, how can they help us do the things we want to do? I've got no, most of the agency partners we're with, I'm sure most of the people within the HCA, they're talented, they're creative, they can come up with a great response to a brief. But how can we take that a step further and say, okay, well, actually, our pain points are these. How can you help us solve some of those pain points? But that's on our side to start with, to say, okay, look, these are our challenges. briefs that go out that say, oh, we want to reach, I don't know, 50% of the primary care network in the UK. That's lovely, but what, how do we get into the mindset of what an agency needs? I think is important. And I think that would improve. I think that would go, that's another step towards how do we get content, how do we get that campaigns out quicker. I think if we're clearer up front on what we're trying to achieve, that would help. Because I don't think we've been great at that over the past. And I think there's some ways of working with agencies that are is an area we can develop further with those partners. Because some it's not beyond the realms of some people they may be speaking to clients. I may never have worked with an agency. They may not have understood the briefing process. They may not have understood an agency relationship. So again, how can we, as an industry, it was this HCA and working with clients, how can we improve that?
It's a really good point. And I know there are many people who are focused on that across the industry. And I suppose it does come down to how you work with teams, right? And it's applying those same principles. And you always, anything that you want to achieve, any project, any goal, any need, you have to spend as much time thinking about how you're going to work together to deliver the thing, as actually, the thing itself. And so it is always about, okay, roles and responsibilities. Are we really clear on that? What do we bring to the table versus what does another stakeholder bring to the table? And I think quite often, I guess you just take experience that you've had from your last project or your last relationship and you go, well, this is the way we do it, rather than, I guess, setting new benchmarks for every single project, because every project is different and it all requires, different ways of working.
But I
And to
think that's it.
take that discipline to kind of set that out before you actually crack on and start doing.
And I'd take that even a step further because, I could see an increasing picture of, and this is where, I guess that the sector, the HA and the partners that we all work with, we talk a lot about cross-functional working internally. How do you get an effective cross-functional team? I think we're pretty good at pulling cross-functional teams together. So we need somebody from compliance, legal, medical. We get them in the room. That's the easy part. I don't think we've ever always consistently cracked how effective you make those cross-functional teams work together. Roles, responsibility, clarity, as you've just said. Now take that a step further. If the model now says, okay, we've got a cross-functional team, but actually we need a cross-functional team of agency partners, then that complexity goes up even more. But that I think is something really interesting because I think sometimes we expect an agency or a partner to do everything. So I hand them the brief, come back and do everything. But I can see a picture where we're okay, well, we need to go here for this, we need to go here for that. We need to bring these guys in because they're really good at that. And I think if everybody can shift their thinking around to that type of approach, then I think that could be really exciting. Because I think, the days where you sort of just throw everything over to one partner and let them get on with it, I think are perhaps in the past a little bit.
And there are obviously some projects where it is, pretty transactional, very clear, not a lot of discussion required. But I think it's for those more sophisticated, kind of projects where actually you really want to shift, behaviors quite drastically. Got to invest a lot of time in kind of getting the project set up right, haven't you? And also not expect that you're going to get results, in a rapid time frame always as well. And it's
And also, I think back to how we've been great partners and clients in the past. I'm not a massive fan. If you park the needs of procurement over here for a second, and let's say we've kept procurement colleagues happy, this traditional way of farmer briefing out. Okay, we're going to speak to five agencies. We're going to get them to put a whole huge amount of effort in and pitch. Have we always been very clear on that brief? So, I get that, clients interpret a pitch in different ways, and that's the exciting beauty part of it. But actually, do you know what? Maybe just better, more established, sensible conversations with partners is I think would pay some significant dividends rather than, sit down in a room for a day and say, right, okay, this is what we want to achieve. What are we all thinking? I think we'll get better outcomes than that traditional, okay, well, here's a brief, you tell us what you think. And you get into a subjective view of, okay, well, we'll vote on who we think's the winner, which is what I saw 4 or 5 years ago. And I think that's starting to change a lot. And I think
Yeah,
that
I
I think it needs
agree.
to keep changing.
Yeah, our job's getting tougher, isn't it? So we've got to work harder at coming together and to solve the challenges together. So I think that's really encouraging to hear. And I suppose, even beyond kind of agency partners, we're starting to see even at the business commercial level a lot more collaborations, whether that's in between providers, maybe collaborations with patient organizations, professional organizations, even tech companies. Do you see that growing as well? And what are some of the kind of watch outs there when you're trying to, I guess deliver projects or work through a collaboration?
Yeah, 100%. I think it grows. And I think, back to what we were talking about earlier, how do you activate patients and how do you activate HCPs in that sort of joined up ecosystem and way? And patient groups, I think, particularly have a big role to play in that. So if I go back to, how does a patient behave? How does a HCP behave? They will go and find out their information. They may come to us, they may go to other sources. The key thing for me though is how do you get consistency or drive to consistency of messaging? Because everyone, that, we're a commercial organization. There's many other commercial organizations. You want to be successful within that environment, but equally you want to serve the best needs of all the patients. So for me, that the complexity of that and weaving your way through that is the challenge. How do you create consistency of message that ultimately benefits the patient, but equally allows everybody to be successful in their own spheres? So I think it do I think it'll increase in the amount of those sort of types of collaborations and cross-functional working collabs? Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's one size fits all model for that. I think back to your point about each project is, it's individual project. I can see exactly the same logic being applied. But I know from, what we're doing is there is, just as much as there's an investment in content and other disciplines, investment in sort of patient group advocacy, aligning with those organizations and stakeholders and is the investment is going up. And I don't, there's no quick wins there for me. That's just lot that's just hard work, building relationships. And I think you've got to be quite tenacious with those because it's the easiest thing to start dropping off if you don't get sort of successes early or quick wins. I think they're long-term plays rather than short-term wins.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, some really exciting collaborations, aren't there? And it's, I guess, as you said, everyone's got different agendas and objectives, and that's okay. And I think the some of the blockers that we've seen in the past, more from, I guess, philosophical kind of objections, are paling away a little bit as people see the need to collaborate to just get things done. Obviously, it still needs all the governance around it and right processes, but I think we've moved a long way from kind of the adversarial nature in the past, and that goes commercially as well, I think.
Yeah, I would
We're
agree with
all
that.
having
I
to
think,
pool the
yeah,
resources, aren't we?
absolutely. And like I said, it's just a much more complicated, complex, clustered comms environment. And the more aligned and more joined up we can be across that should reduce, in theory, some of that complexity and some of that clutter.
We've definitely got some big health challenges to face over the next few years, haven't we? So
Hugely,
yeah, got
yeah.
to get together to try and solve them. Brilliant. So I'm mindful of the time, so I don't want to keep you too much longer. I guess my question is there anything that you wish I'd asked you that I hadn't?
I don't think so. I've really enjoyed the conversation. I think I'd finish just by aligning that, I think I'd finish the conversation by being like what we said. Well, all the things we've talked about, I think, are happening. And regardless of, regardless of the organization, regardless of its agenda and its objectives, I think as a rule, we could be a lot better at being a little bit bolder, a little bit prouder of a lot of the great work that happens. There's various awards and those sorts of things, but I think, the more we can do as an industry to and as a group within the industry to sort of dial up and showcase what you know, because there are pockets of really great work. And I
Absolutely.
think, you know, I'd encourage everyone to be a little bit brave, a little bit bolder, a bit more innovative in the way we talk about those things, because there's stacks of opportunities still to go after.
Really, really like that. And I totally agree, you know, pride in our industry and the work
Yeah.
and the value that we're offering to health outcomes and, you know, all of our lives
Yeah, absolutely.
is something that we should be shouting about. So lovely, lovely end. Thank you, Matt.
You're
Really
welcome.
enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for giving up the time and have a good day.
And you. Thanks, Joe.
Cheers.